Okay, it's a tremendous chus to be able to say shir again the day after Zman Matan Teresenu. It's the first one. Baruch Hashem, thank you everyone for joining us bright and early this morning. We'll try to get right back into the swing of things. Tremendous, tremendous chus to be able to be one with Torah together, Berabim. So we left off last week. We were discussing the Malach of Tofer. Malach is really of Korean Tofer. And we realized that there's a potentially very, very relevant shaila that we're not even sure whether it even really falls into the category of Tofer. It's called stitching, but it's a little bit of a different stitching than the days of Chazal, namely stitching a wound. The person gets cut, so to stitch that wound together, is that considered to be a malacha of Tofer or not? So it's somewhat unclear in the contemporary poskim whether we should view this as a real tefira d'oraisa or maybe not. Now, very often it's not so relevant, because it's very often going to be mutter anyway. If it's a situation of danger, a situation of even a suffering ruach nefesh, very often a wound that's large enough to medically require stitching, very often is halachically considered to be a ruach nefesh, a suffering ruach nefesh. Therefore, we're going to do it anyway. But we left off at the very end of the shiur last week, a situation that is a very common shiloh. Person gets caught, and it's a deep cut, the doctor concerned about infection. So we want to stitch it up. Now the question is, we're going to put in some stitches now, but from a pure pikuach nefesh vantage point, you don't really have to put in 20 stitches. To clean it, to close it up in a way that it's safe, you can get away with 10 stitches. So why do the extra stitches? For basically cosmetic reasons. So the question is those grounds to permit doing this on Shabbos? Now again, if you hold there's no malach involved, so then it's okay. But if you hold that there is a malach involved, or if you're of the opinion, like some have, that it may even be a real malach at deraisa, what if any heter would there be to permit the extension to quote from something that we spoke a little bit earlier in a different issue, in an evening shiur before you have almost like a marvel shiur, so to speak, that you're allowed to do a couple of stitches, but right, you have to continue to do above and beyond that point. So this is a big question. We mentioned very end of the shiur last week that Rosh Shlomo Zalman was makel on the shaila for two fascinating reasons. Each reason one could argue it. There are some who disagree with both of the reasons of Shlomo Zalman, but the fascinating, fascinating insight from the Gov Lador, from the Zalman Orbach, and each one has its own lumdus to it. And again, those who want to rely on Shlomo Zalman, I think definitely can have Shlomo Zalman smachala without any has any my approval for that. But just the fascinating two insights, which are each one that are potentially significant for other areas of halacha as well. So one suggestion that Rosh Shlomo Zalman said is that this is a throwback to a general question about pikuach nefesh, something which is almost closer to some of the things that we spoke about in the evening shiur last week. There is a question concerning pikuach nefesh. Let's say I've identified a person who is a chol l'sheyesh b'sekhon. So his life is potentially at risk. So I'm allowed to do whatever I have to do for him. How do we define things that I have to do? What exactly does that mean? Who defines the have to do? And again, I've already decided he's a chol l'sheyesh b'sekhon. How do I make that first assessment that it's a chol sheyesh bo sekhana? And those are sugyos of maseches Yuma, where the Mishnah tells us that the first person to make the assessment is the doctor. That's what the Mishnah says, that roifi yomer tzorch lechom yom kippur b'shamim lo. So if even one doctor says that a person has to eat on yom kippur, you have to listen to him. There is a machlekes in Rishonim. Why is it that we listen to the doctors? You say one doctor comes and says, this guy looks sick, I think he has to eat on yom kippur. So the mission is the fair, you have to listen. No shan shekhanot, of course you have to listen, you have to feed him. B'chuyav minatari feed him. The question is, does that mean that the halacha gives an absolute credibility to everything the doctor says? That means we know, we're assuming b'tor is v'ada, that the doctor knows what he's talking about, the doctor's trustworthy, and the Torah gives it a sense, an absolute green light to the doctors to make any assessment whatsoever that's relevant in halacha. Is that true? Or is that not true? We're not saying the doctors are for sure right. We're saying we don't know. The doctor is acceptable to create a latest asafek. Now, for the purposes of pikuach nefesh, you don't need more than a latest asafek. All you have to have for pikuach nefesh is that it's a asafek pikuach nefesh. So maybe the halacha doesn't accept at face value everything the doctor said. Maybe the doctor's making a mistake. Even if he's a nice, firm fellow, maybe he's wrong. Maybe he doesn't know anything about this illness. So he's enough. Maybe they stay in nafka. So pikuach nefesh purposes, all you have to do is create a asafek. By nafka mean, at the end of the day, you listen to the doctor. No, the chaps a big nafka mean ladina. What about the other direction? What if a doctor is telling you something that we want to be makil based on what he's saying in other areas of halacha? We have a shad in halacha that doesn't go with the regular rules of pikuach nefesh, suffik lahakil. We have another area of halacha that goes with the rules sfeik deraisa l'chumra. So I have some kind of a shad, shad deraisa. And according to the doctor's word, I have a right to be makil. do I have a right to make or not? Is that true or not? So some Rishonim said, yeah. Some Rishonim say, just as you believe a doctor in Hilchos Yom Kippur, so too you believe a doctor in other areas of Halacha, Bein L'Kula Bein L'Chumra. The doctor is assumed to be telling you the truth. And other Rishonim say, Bapito. Other Rishonim say, just because a doctor is demonis to create a suffix in Pikuach Nefesh, who says he has a right to create a Vada in other areas of Halacha. So this was a big Machlokes Rishonim. We spoke about this in the past. The big Machlokes Rishonim in Hilchos Nida, when the regular rules of Hilchos Nida point in a direction that this woman should be Asura, now the doctor steps up to the plate. He says, wait a second, I have medical information that she's muteris. What's my medical information? I'm telling you that the blood is not coming from the uterus, it's coming from somewhere else. The whole chag gives you the whole shtick as to why he thinks that she's muteris. The summary shouldn't say that he's an emon. The doctor's an emon, bein makula bein chumra, assuming that he's a frum doctor. He's not a frum doctor, that erechen abisur wouldn't apply there. Assuming that he's a frum doctor, you assume that the doctor knows what he's talking about, bein makula bein chumra. We can mount this recovery based on what the doctor said.
Wouldn't a non-frum doctor be more reliable than a frum doctor? Because like, no, he's not the Gevedova, not knowing the result of his decision.
I mean, he's called the Masech Lefituma. I mean, somebody's giving you almost like information that doesn't understand why he's giving that information.
So, right, so like
back in your day, the problem is that Nemanus and Masech Lefituma only applies for the Rabbanans, the Gemara says in Bava Kamma. Doesn't apply. We're not comfortable with that on the level of their Isis. So there are some Rishonim who say a doctor is Neman ben Lehokel ben Lehachmir. He can be Matal in Yom Kippur. He can be Matal Isha Labayla. He's Matal. He's Neman like Gamrei. And as long as he's from, if he's not from, so then he can create a suffix in Yom Kippur, but he won't be able to be Matal Isha Labayla. Other Rishonim say no, that the Gemara never says that the doctor's a Neman Gamrei. The Gemara just says that we speak of an after. We don't know whether the doctor's a Neman or not. Therefore, Ruchos Yom Kippur, we have to be play it safe. But for us to extrapolate from Yom Kippur to other cases, that we have no right to do. So that's a big machlokes Rishonim, how to read a Gemara Maseches Nida. Gemara tells a story of Maseches Nida. There was once a shah that came up. They asked the doctor's input, and it's not clear did they rely on the doctor's 100% or not. Bein lechok or bein lehachmir. But Bizman Hazeh, we're not learning Maseches Nida right now, but the kids in him, it's Bizman Hazeh, the poskim, many poskim are much, much more lenient to trust the doctors for a different reason, that the doctors today are not just giving an opinion. They tell you facts, namely, they can point to the desk and say, we did an ultrasound. We saw that the blood is coming from the mouth. It's not coming from the mohar. Those are things that are much, much more, lend much more credibility. In the olden days, you went to the doctor. The doctor said, yeah, I think she has a mouth. I think you have a mouth. Maybe, yeah, maybe no. That's why I always tell people that the very common thing, a person calls a shower, they call the doctor. The doctor says, yeah, it's a mouth. So I'll ask the woman, how did the doctor know that information that it's a mouth? So the woman will sometimes say to me, well, I called the doctor on the phone and I described it to him and he told me it's a macha. I said, that's not acceptable. I said, the fact that if he didn't examine you, I said, that's not so posher. I said, if he examines you and he does an ultrasound or he looks inside and you can see, a few rows say no, that's a different story. So you have to be careful that even when we say that a doctor has a certain degree of nemonis, you have to make sure that the doctor understands, the patient understands, the rabbi understands the degree of investigation, examination the doctor has to make in order to make an assessment that will be recognized in the halacha. But back to Hilchos Pikuach Nefesh, you don't even need that from Pikuach Nefesh. As long as the doctor says that it's a suffix, that would also be acceptable. Or even if there's no doctor around, let's say there's no mumcha around, so then if you have somebody, if we have no doctor asked, but it appears the firo say, maybe this may be a Pikuach Nefesh, that's enough to create a suffix. Or the chayil himself says, that he doesn't feel well. Let's say we think the guy looks okay, but he really, really feels that there's something bothering him. So the Gemara has that. So you also lead to the Amar Stav Show. You also have to share in terms of assessing what the suffering is. So the threshold for Pikuach Nefesh is very, 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 very low. All you have to create is any form of a legitimate suffering. I just spoke to a doctor the other day, right before Yom Kippur, about some kind of a shayla. So he was hemming and hawing a little bit about, I posed the question, I said, would you consider this to be a suffix? So, you know, it's not clear what you mean by suffix. Is it 50-50? Is it 80-30? I said, I don't need 80-20. I don't need 10%. I don't need 15%. I don't need 50%. I don't need Karv Labada. I want to know, do you consider this to be, even within the realm of a realistic possibility of a potential risk of life? Yes, it's within the realm of possibility. That's enough to create a latest itself. So back to our story. So here we have a patient who has to get stitched. The doctor says, listen, can I say for certain that this is going to get infected and the guy's going to die? Unlikely, but it's possible. There is a possibility. It's a big, big dash. could be there's a possibility of complications and infections. So we speculate enough. Fine. So we're going to do the stitching now. But now you reach a point, the doctor finishes his 10 stitches and he says, listen, I'm telling you medically, there's zero concern whatsoever. Because medically, there's a big concern right now, but medically, there's no concern. Do we have a right to continue to go on and on? So Shlomo Zalman Paskin, yes, for two reasons. So one of the reasons that Shlomo Zalman said is that when you have a situation with Pekuach Nefesh, so there's a Magid Mishnah. Magid Mishnah is a Chiddush Gadol. Magid Mishnah was a Rishon, with a parish in the Rambam. Magid Mishnah writes a tremendous Chiddush Gadol for Pekuach Nefesh. That once you establish that a person is a Chalosh Yesh B'Sakana, you're allowed to do Kol Torchei HaChayla. You're allowed to do anything that the Chayla needs, even those needs that are not per se Pekuach Nefesh. Whatever's within the realm of normal standard medical care is mutter for a chalash yesh b'sakana, and you need not measure every single action and say, if I don't do this, is there a concern he's going to die? If I don't do that, is it going to die? Once you've ascertained, once you've been kevei, he's a gavra of a chayla, he's a gavra that's subject to the kulas of the pekuach nefesh, so then kol tzarchi a chayla a mutter. So that's why it's according to the Magen Mishnah, it will come out as follows. I have a chalash yesh b'sakana. And the doctors are doing whatever they have to do, and they're doing blood work, and they're giving him transfusions, and they're running a surgery. A million things are going on. All the malachas, their eyes are taking place. And the patient's grandmother says, I think he could use some chicken soup. He'll feel better with a little bowl. What could be there? A bowl of chicken soup. A little chicken soup. So he asked, the doctor says, listen, it can't hurt. I'm not going to help either, but it can't hurt. Will it make the person feel a little bit better? Yeah, but good little, tasty chicken soup will feel better. Will that impact on his medical condition? Doctor says, absolutely not. Maybe it'll impact on the grandmother's medical condition, but not on the patient's. So the patient is told by the doctor, there is no medical study out there that requires you to have chicken soup right now. So, but will you feel a little bit better? Yeah. Because says the Magid Mishnah, it's mutter to cook that chicken soup, to malacha deraisa to the chicken soup. Why? Because he is a chelish yesh b'sakana, and tzorche a chelish yesh b'sakana, a mutter. Legamrei, that's it. It doesn't have to be a pekuach nefesh tekitzerech. Once he's labeled as a chelish yesh b'sakana, ala tzorche haguf, a mutter. That's the famous kula of the Magid Mishnah. Now, truth to be told, we're not sure we pass it like this Magid Mishnah. Actually, the Mishnah Bura rejects this Magid Mishnah. The Mishnah Bura writes that he doesn't think it's true. He thinks that it's such a chiddush gadol. Like, if you don't need this chicken soup, who gave you right to cook chicken soup for? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, and he thinks that Rav Rishonim are against the Magid Mishnah. But it's quoted in the name of Reb Chaim. The Reb Chaim held that the Magid Mishnah is correct. And we follow, we pass the Halacha L'maaseh like this Magid Mishnah. That's what the Brisker Rav writes, that his father's famous psak, when Yom Kippur was based on this Magid Mishnah, the famous psak of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim said that on Yom Kippur, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from Rishonim, that when you have a chalish yesh b'sakana yom kippur, you have to eat pachas pachas b'gishir. Like a chil, you have to try to give the person less than the shear of achila, which would otherwise be kares. If and when he can't survive on the pachas b'gishir, then you give him the full shear. You have to try to give him a little bit in the intervals, etc. We're familiar with doing. So Reb Chaim said that din only applies to a person who's not yet a chalish yesh b'sakana. If you have a person, let's say you have a guy who right now is not really sick, but he's prone to become sick. If you don't let him drink, he's gonna dehydrate. Right now he's probably he's not pretty young, he's not Muslim, he's fine. But his medical condition dictates that if he's not careful, then he may end up dehydrating and getting complications, he's gonna bang his head, all kind of terrible potential koch nefesh situations could arise. So when you have such a person who is not yet a chalish yesh b'sakana, he's a potential in the future chalish yesh b'sakana, as the phrase go, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. It means we want to avoid being broken up. There's no great mitzvah to end up in the hospital in Yom Kippur. And then, Baruch Hashem, I made the hospital, now let me eat in Yom Kippur. That's very, very poor strategy. The goal is to prevent you from getting to that point. So there's no question you're allowed to eat or drink in Yom Kippur, but under those circumstances, you have to be machmer and bachas b'kashir. If you are already a chalish yesh b'sakana, the guy's already in a situation, he just had a major surgery now, he's a mamish in the middle of the pekuach nefesh right now. Once he's labeled as a gavra pekuach nefesh, he's allowed to eat legamre, he's allowed to eat and drink normally, doesn't have to count out the measurements, measure shot glasses, he can eat and drink kedarkoi. That was the famous psach Reb Chaim. So Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. Shulchan Aruch just says, we have a chal, yom kippur, you feed him pachas pachas b'shiyar. So Reb Chaim said, when he's not yet a chal, he's already a chal, then everything goes. So the Brisker Rav said, what is my father's psach based on? So the Brisker Rav says, if his father's psach, Chaim's psach, was based on the Magid Mishnah, that that's called tzarchei achayla. That the same way, if this person would be sick on a non-Yom Kippur day, we wouldn't be sitting with a shot glass and giving him a little drop and waiting 9 minutes. He said, you feed a chayla normal again, normal whatever he needs, whatever the doctor says is normal eating and drinking should be. So comes Reb Chaim and says, we pass like the Magen Mishnah, both Lugabi Malachas and Shabbos, as well as Lugabi eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. So we have a Machlekes, the Gedalia Paiskin, Mishnah Bura against Reb Chaim, wants me to be Machriya. So there are some Rabban who follow Reb Chaim's tradition, there are many who follow the Mishnah Bura. So again, Yesh V'yesh in terms of what the final word Lahadach is. So Shlomo Zalman writes that he thinks that when a person is needs stitches for medical reasons, so the guy got a big cut in his head, so he needs 10 stitches, and the doctor said, if he doesn't get these stitches, then he may get infected, who knows what's going to happen. So he's already labeled as a pikuach nefesh, already a chalish yesh b'sukun. Once we finish doing the 10 stitches, so now all subsequent stitches are like cooking potato, are like cooking chicken soup. So if you hold against the Magen Mishnah that you're only allowed to do medical tzarch yachayla, whatever is just additional physical needs of the chayla are not acceptable, so then you would not be permitted. The same way you're not permitted to cook that chicken soup, you wouldn't be permitted to stitch up the extra 10 stitches. But if you hold like the Mekila, if you hold like the Magen Mishnah, like the Chayim, and once you're a chalish yesh b'sakana, so whatever the normal standard of care is, including chicken soup, normal standard of care doesn't mean only medical care, it means normal care, whatever the normal standards to help this person are. So then just as you're allowed to cook the chicken soup, you would be permitted to stitch up the remaining stitches as well. That was Rav Shlomo Zalman's first Nitiloch. Again, obviously, one can only be making on that if one accepts the original Hanacha of the Magen Mishnah.
According to Mishnah Berurah, would that go for a non-Jew doing the malacha as well as...
The Mishnah Berurah, maybe the Mishnah Berurah would be much, much more makel if it would be a goy. So I would say that even according to those who don't want to follow the school, if the doctors are going, definitely a shlomo. Because vis-a-vis a merely akum, you know, it's only the rabbanon, it's a mitzvah gedoyla. There are some Mishnah who say that a merely akum is mut always for a mitzvah. You know, we try not to rely on that. Peshas and Chachma can rely on that. So the extra stitches, the mitzvah, it's a mitzvah gedoyla. It can impact that person terribly. It can impact the shidduch, it can impact their whole life. It can make so many psychological scars. So yes, I would say that Aidei Goy, I wouldn't have any hesitation whatsoever. I'm saying more than that. I'm saying even Aidei Yisrael, Shlomo Zalman is willing to be made on base mitzvah. It's interesting, Shlomo Zalman has an interesting other comment about this cool, even though he seemed to accept this Magen Mishnah, but he says that you have to be careful even in applying the Magen Mishnah. He thinks it's a good application for the case of the stitches, but there are some invalid applications of the Magen Mishnah. So let's say the Marshal, at what point do we say that even the Magen Mishnah would say the buck stops here? Let's say the Shlomo Zalman is trying to find the scenario of you have a chalish yesh v'sakana, the fellow's laying in the hospital, and some need of his comes up, that's not a real physical need. Some kind of other need, want, more of a want than a need. So Shlomo Zalman says he doesn't believe Magen Mishnah would say that. So the extra chicken soup, maybe. The extra stitches, yeah. The extra food in Yom Kippur, yeah, according to Brisker Rav Reb Chaim. But there reaches a point where even Magen Mishnah would have to stop the Ad Kadmon Lo Yetzer. So Shlomo Zalman was such a tzaddik Yisrael Olam, you know, sitting there Chesed, you know, back 40, 50 years ago, trying to think, what could a person possibly want? This chalish yesh b'sakana, what could he possibly request that we're going to have to, you know, politely say no? This ad kan v'lo yaseh, this much we can't do according to you. So Shlomo Zalman trying to think, what could the person possibly want? What possible want could he have? He's laying there sick. So he says, for example, he says, what if lo yitzuya, the patient of the hospital says he wants somebody to go to the store and buy him a newspaper? That was the best example of someone's able to think of something that's not necessary. I think if today we would have to say he wants to put on the TV, he wants to turn on his phone, he wants to do other kinds of activities. So he's a chayla chiyesh persakona, but he wants to do other kinds of activities that are not really chayla chiyesh persakona, actually, not literally chayla chiyesh persakona. They're more of ritzoinus rather than tzirachim. So Shlomo Zalman said, "Ad kan v'lo yaseh." That's just a little bit too much. Ad kan v'lo yaseh. That he doesn't think that we have a right to do. So it's interesting. So I had a shiloh, believe it or not. Somebody asked me a shiloh about this very, very recently, about an individual who was other issues that were going on. The person was very, very agitated, and it wasn't just they were nervous about something, but the person who has, you know, certain conditions, they get extremely, extremely agitated, and sometimes that agitation could become dangerous. Again, I'm not talking about just someone who's a little bit, you know, nervous, someone who has a serious enough condition that when they get very, very upset, they can chalil b'chalil become, you know, hurt themselves, they can hurt somebody else. You know, you can potentially enter into a world of even a chashash, a pikuach nefesh, under those kinds of circumstances. And we know that especially like the last couple of months, everybody's you know, tension level is raised significantly. So the question was, could we permit such an individual to do certain things on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, things that are normally would be chilul Shabbos, chilul Yom Tov, but it's almost like to calm the person down a little bit. So it's almost like therapeutic. So can you let them do certain kinds of activities that we would not normally permit, obviously, for a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov? So this is also maybe related a little bit to the Magid Mishnah, that sometimes those activities can be mamish pikuach nefesh, sometimes possible, mamish pikuach nefesh, literally pikuach nefesh, and sometimes even if they're not necessarily pikuach nefesh, they could enter into the realm of tzarchei achoila. That means that the person is in a situation where they themselves are achoila sheyesh b'sakana. So even though it would be hard to say that this particular activity is gonna, not being done, is gonna result in a pikuach nefesh, but it could be that keeping a person calm is also a cheshbon of pikuach nefesh. It's also a factor. So maybe that be able to almost like slip in between the cracks, so to speak, under the Magid Mishnah also. So you have to be very, very careful when you apply this Magid Mishnah. If you apply, but not everyone accepts it, but according to the Reb Chaim, who's making like Magid Mishnah, so sometimes that's a factor. Sometimes just simply calming the person can be mamish pikuach nefesh. So that can be literally, I mean, mamish pikuach nefesh. Again, this is something that every rav has to try to get whatever medical, you know, psychiatric input he has to get into answering the shaila. The same way you have a shaila of stitches, you got to speak to the plastic surgeons. You have a shaila in the GI guys, the GI guys. You have a shaila in the veterinarians. When you have a psychiatric emergency, you have to try to get your information from, if you're able to, whatever information you're able to glean, to be able to paskin that shaila correctly as well. Anyway, getting back to the story. So that was the first time of Shlomo Zalman to be more makil on the stitches. Then Shlomo Zalman had another fascinating insight into the stitches. Maybe we can be makil to do the extra stitches based on a sugya in Masechet Shabbos in the 19th paragraph about Bris Milah. A very, very famous story, sugya in the Gemara, about the Bris Milah on Shabbos, where during the week, according to some Rishonim, a person is doing a bris, and they did the bris, they were yaitzin the bris already, so they removed enough of the orla that the child's not an orla anymore. So there's a whole sugya in Masechet Shabbos about how much of the orla has to be removed until we reach the point where we say, but the evidence of bris is kosher. So you can have a situation where the enough of the orla was removed, but there's a little bit was left behind. It's called tzitzin. Little strands of flesh called tzitzin. So there are tzitzin ma'ach b'nes ha'mila, tzitzin she'ma'ach b'nes ha'mila. So if you left too many of those strands, too much positioned improperly, so that could disqualify the entire meal. It's ma'ach b'nes ha'mila, so kids mamash noro. So of course you better fix it. And even on Shabbos you better fix it. You didn't do the mitzvah yet. But sometimes you have a situation where you have tzitzin she'ma'ach b'nes ha'mila, that the tzitzin themselves are not ma'akiv anyway, and the bris is kosher anyway the way it is. So then there's a whole complicated sugya. Do you go back? Or do you not go back? Do you go back on a weekday? Go back on Shabbos, etc. So in the middle, tucked away in that whole sugya, is the following possibility. You may have a situation where you per se did not have, you're not really supposed to go back for this. There are no real justifications with Michal Shabbos for going back for this. The meal was really, you're ready, I'd say. But you didn't finish yet. It's called lo piresh. You started to cut, and you cut off enough of the orla that the baby's not an orla anymore. But you didn't finish. But you didn't even put the knife down. Your mom's still holding the knife in your hand. Lo piresh. So then the Gemara says lo piresh. Then you chayza. Then you go back no matter what. You continue to clean up the job a little bit. As long as you're lo piresh. As long as you didn't put the knife down. So then the Rishonim have a big machlokes. What does it mean to put the knife down? Is that really the end of the milah? What if you put the knife down already, but you didn't do, you didn't bandage the baby? Or what if you didn't do the metzitza yet? So we should have a whole discussion. Where exactly do you draw the line? What is that line in the sand called piresh? It's not 100% clear in the Gemara what that line is, but there is some kind of a threshold. There's some kind of a line of demarcation that we say that you didn't finish the job yet. And close mind, you didn't finish the job, so you can keep on touching it up, even though what you're doing per se is not really enough of a tzarech to mechal Shabbos for it. If you did the bris at 8 o'clock in the morning and then you realize 4 o'clock in the afternoon you didn't finish the job, so it's aimak mazamila, that would be an issa derais, an issa excuse to go back. You're not allowed to go cut for no reason. That's not sufficient grounds to go cut for. But if you're still within the same ma'isa, then it would be okay. So Shlomo Zalman says, you see from here that there's a klal and the chiyah Shabbos, almost called like a chada ma'isa. A close man, something is b'chad demais. It's almost like we were shurin. It's a little bit of a throwback to what we spoke about last week. It's identical, but it's like ain't that idea. But as long as it's b'chad demais, so that's still considered to be almost like batel to the original b'yom hashmini b'besar losai. So Shlomo Zalman says that just as the continuation of the cutting becomes subsumed under the category of b'yom hashmini b'besar losai, even though it's not really intrinsically necessary, but it still becomes bottled to the B'yom HaShmini. So the same, maybe you could argue with the Chaybahem, that the Torah says, I'm allowed to do 10 stitches. So close bound, I didn't stop the stitching process. I can do 11 stitches, I can do 20, I can do 50 stitches, because the extra stitches are all considered to be bottled and mavutal to the original Ma'aseh of Tefiras as well. Close bound, I wasn't Piresh. How do you define what's called Piresh? So the same way, in Nuchos Mil, it's not 100% clear. And probably, as long as you're still basically involved in some part of the process, that's still called some part of the halachic process. That's still called the pirish. So probably that same kind of a model would spill over to stitches as well. So I would say that Kozman, the surgeon, the plastic surgeon, is still standing, still got his tools in his hand. He's still cleaning up. He hasn't closed up shop. If he closes up shop, then they discharge you, and then you want to come back at 3 o'clock in the afternoon for a little touch-up job. So that would be a problem. That could be a serious issue. According to the first tzad of Shlomo Zalman, that would also be mutter. But according to the second tzad of Shlomo Zalman, that the matter here is the lo pirish, so it would have to be in the halachic guidelines of what's called lo pirish. And again, normal stitches would be that way. I don't want to walk trips to the emergency room, but I've been there, done that, seen my kids get stitches over the years. So the surgeon doesn't stop I finished the 10. Now, let me close up, I'll come back in 15 minutes. That's not usually what happens. He's usually continuing the job. So that probably meets the criteria of low pirish as it meets in Ochos Mila. So that's a big, big jump from Shlomo Zalman, because it's not even 100% clear in that sugya that that's the reason why you're allowed to continue. There's a big, big machlokes in Rishonim as to why you're allowed to continue if it's low pirish. Some Rishonim learn like Shlomo Zalman because it's the Chadamais. And other Rishonim say no, because it's the matter of Hiddur Mitzvah that permits you to continue. And Hiddur Mitzvah only takes place because man shall appear, it's the Rambam and the Rashi and the Torah, all along the Shavuot. The reason why that Gemara became very, very popular is because there's a whole Torah in the world of Bris that the Mesalevi started, and the Mishka Ravaz, and later other continued, that there's a connection between the standards of Hiddur Mitzvah and Nila and Hiddur Mitzvah nearest Hanukkah. So anytime you ever go to a Bris on Hanukkah, if the father's a Lamdan, there's a 9 out of 10 chance you can hear a drasha that has to do with the halachic equivalent of Hiddur Mitzvah and Bris Mila and Hiddur Mitzvah and Neres Chanukah. It's the same people who, during when they have a Bar Mitzvah, during Sfira, the Bar Mitzvah boy will say to Shabbat Torah about what do you do when you miss, can you continue to count based on the counting of being a Katan. There are certain, yearly papulim that tend to repeat themselves depending on the level of the lundus of the Bal Simcha. So you usually hear that same kind of stuff time in and time out. Anyway, back to that story. So the bottom line is that we're not 100% sure that stitching is in derais in the first place. And even if there's lomid that it's also, we have, it's 99% of the time going to be covered by Pekuach Nefesh. And if you have, the other concerns, the additional stitches, so you have those considerations over Shlomo Zalman. Sometimes, again, this is something that I would never tell you, as I'm not a medical professional, I could never tell you to do this, but sometimes you have a situation where a person gets stitches very, very late in the day. Now, as we've already said, the pikuach nefesh, there are yesh v'yesh. The pikuach nefesh is that have to be done immediately, every second count. The pikuach nefesh is that you have time in your hands. So if a person's having a heart attack, so that's the pikuach nefesh that has to be taken care of immediately. Sometimes a woman's going into very early labor, so that's not necessarily something that has to be addressed. That's split the second again. Yeah, sometimes that also has to be some sort of complications. But again, yesh v'yesh, there are degrees of within pikuach nefesh. So stitches could sometimes fall into the first category or the second category, depending on the wound. So the person chalil has an unbelievable gaping wound, gushing blood. So you got to get the person to the hospital right away. A person, cut themselves, they fell, something, they're bleeding. It could be it's a kind of a wound that has to be stitched. I'm not denying that, but it doesn't necessarily have to be stitched that second. So again, this is something that you would have to get someone with some medical expertise or someone's willing to make such a call on that and willing to make an assessment it's a half hour before Shabbos is over and the bleeding is under control. And if you mean a way to get that person to the hospital in the next half hour or an hour from now, may not necessarily be so critical. So then again, one would avoid one. We're not necessarily run to the hospital under those circumstances. You have to be very careful. And again, this is something that has to be assessed. Like all other spaces, if you're not sure, then you have to earn the side of caution. remember once somebody was telling me that somebody was in labor on Shabbos afternoon, and they were delaying. And then they were so proud when they told me the story of Shabbos. We delayed, and we waited till Rabbi Tam's man before we ended the hospital. And they said, Baruch Hashem, all's well that ends well. The baby was born healthy and everything. I didn't have the heart to respond. It's true. The baby was born healthy. Baruch Hashem. And, you know, 95% of the time when we're quote unquote Machal Shabbos, 95% of the time the person recovers, you know, Baruch Hashem. And very often the Gloy Mills said, we didn't even have to really do that. That's all true. But the person who waited for Rabbeinu Tam's man, or even for the Gros man for that matter, not to take a person who's in labor, who reaches the point where the Halacha permits Chilul Shabbos, so that's a terrible Aveira. The fact that it had a good outcome in the end is totally irrelevant. My father-in-law told me that there are four, if I get it right, there are four different types of scenarios that play out. There are good decision, good outcome, bad decision, bad outcome, good decision, bad outcome, bad decision, good outcome. I think I said that well enough. So this was an example of a bad decision and a good outcome. So in Shemayim, so they hold us responsible for our decisions. The outcomes of what happened, that's the hand for Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the person makes the correct decision, and it turns out there was a bad outcome, so okay, we tried our best. The person makes a bad decision, so then they're going to be held accountable for the bad decision, even though it could be that the outcome may have been all's well that ends well, doesn't mean that we were permitted to do what we did. So that's also an important thing to keep in mind as we're so involved in the sugyas, continuing involved in the sugyas of the Ruach Nefesh, that and just because, you know, let's say we take certain precautions, that it turns out, Baruch Hashem, things were better than we expected. Great. That's wonderful. That's good decision, good outcome. What, we want people to get sick. We're only going to feel good if somebody gets sick. So fuck yeah, we don't want anyone to get sick. So, but just because nobody's getting sick doesn't mean that gives us the right to make poor decisions. So in Yana Diyan, people who make lousy, miserable decisions in this area, they don't take care of themselves, they don't take the proper questions, they do foolish, you know, dangerous things. And then Baruch Hashem, nobody gets sick. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful, wonderful outcome and a terrible, terrible decision. And a person is also a din for terrible decisions. So the fact that nobody gets sick from doing anything, any reckless behavior, is totally, completely irrelevant in terms of whether the person was involved in a correct halachic and Torah decision or not. So betting back that story, bottom line is that we're not 100% sure why the stitches are us in the first place. And if they are us, we're not sure to what degree they're us. And even if they're also, they may be mutter for a variety of reasons. So those who rely on Rosh Hashanah, which I think that most of the doctors that they do rely on, so definitely a Yesha, Ami, Mismech. So this was all the Shirayim. This wasn't even the bulk of the Shir today. This was the leftovers from last week. But Baruch Hashem, so many things, Torah just keeps on going and going and going. So everything becomes intertwined. But we're really back to the primary sugyas, the primary sugyas of Kare and Teifer. And we're going to have to set the stage for next week. So we'll just quote very, very quickly a Gemara that many people are familiar with. It's a Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Matas. That happens also be on the fourth breath of Shabbos. But the odds are more people probably learn Gimel and Maseches Matas than the fourth breath of Shabbos. And the Gemara discusses Toseach Beisat Tzavah B'Shabbos. First, there's a big, big sheet, and they want to make it into a talus katan. So they want to poke a hole into it. So you take a scissors and you cut a hole open. The Gemara says, oh, yeah, you made a place for your neck to go into the sheet. That's a terrible avera. It's an issa skila. You have skila for that. That's malacha deraisa. So we're just not sure about one very, very simple question. We're not sure which malacha deraisa you just violated. Was it Korea? Was it something else? And the answer to that question is going to impact greatly, very, very significantly, and so many more issues of Korea that are going to come up now. So that's going to set the stage for next week in terms of continuing on the nuances of Lachas Korea. It's going to impact on issues of ripping toilet paper, ripping paper towels. It's going to impact on some of the opening packages issues in terms of Korea. So many things are going to now get mixed into this sugya of Korea. All going to begin with what did the Gemara or what did the Gemara not say concerning Pesach, Pesach, Tzav, Shav. Hopefully that Shem will continue. Just in terms of, I'm just going to turn off the recording for a second. We're just going to talk about one thing very, very quickly.